The gospel reading is from Luke 2:8-11. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, watching over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." The word of God for the people of God.
So there was a family that during the Great Depression was unable to afford anything but the bare necessities. One day word came that a circus was coming to town, and the tickets were $1. Well, the family's young son wanted desperately to go to the circus, and so he asked his dad for the money, but his father regretfully could not give it to him. He just said, "Honey, we don't have the money to spend. But if you get some odd jobs, perhaps you can raise the funds you need, and I will match what you can raise." And so the boy put himself to work doing odd jobs and was able to amass enough money with his dad's help to buy the ticket. On the day of the circus, he went to Main Street and was gleefully watching as the circus parade went on by. Okay, we're done. Yep. Jesus never had to deal with that. So he's at the parade and he's watching as the procession goes by, and a clown comes up to him and dances around him, and the boy reaches into his pocket and pulls out the ticket and hands it to the clown. Well, when the parade was over, he went home. And he told his family how much fun he had at the circus. But his dad was curious. He wondered why his young son had come home so soon. So he asked him to describe the circus. The boy told him all about the parade. When he finished, his dad took him in his arms and said, "Son, you didn't see the circus. You saw the parade." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, the boy's story is kind of like how many people treat Christmas. The decorating, the hanging lights, baking and shopping, wrapping and parties and gift exchanges and so on. It's all part of the parade. Many people watch and participate in the parade, but end up missing the main event. And sadly, it's not just people who are out in our communities, but oftentimes it's people in the church. Each year, we hear the familiar stories and sing the familiar hymns, and still we miss the point. We celebrate the birth of Jesus as we would our own birthday. Invite a few friends over, share a meal, open some presents. Corrie Ten Boom once said, "If Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I would still be lost." What she is saying is we can celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we do over and over, but we miss the point because the main event happens when Christ is born in us. That's the point behind this year's Advent sermon series, the Christmas gifts that won't break. From our traditional Advent wreath, we see those gifts of hope and peace, joy and love with Christ in the center. Because you see, Christ and the many benefits he brings are God's gifts to us, gifts that cannot go out of style and they do not break. Thus far, we've talked about hope and peace, and today we ponder pink. We ponder joy. Now, have you ever noticed how many Christmas songs have joy in them. The obvious one is the one we just sang, Joy to the World. And funny thing is, Isaac Watts, when he wrote that song, it wasn't written to be a Christmas song. It's written to be sung all year long. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. And God rest ye merry gentlemen tells us of good tidings of comfort and joy. Hark the herald angels sing, speak of joyful nations rise. And O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. And that's just to name a few. And then if we went into scripture, we would find some 250 references to joy and another 150 references to rejoicing. And that's not to mention the singing and the dancing and the praising. Lots and lots of joy. So what is joy? How do we define it? So let's start with what it isn't. It's not a commodity. You cannot go buy it on sale at Walmart. You can't put it in a mug at Starbucks. You can't download it. You can't turn it on with the remote control. You can't earn it, and you can't inherit it. It's not synonymous with happiness. Happiness is going on vacation, a meal with good friends, the Broncos winning, a good marriage, a satisfying job, and good health. But vacations give way to mounds of catch-up at work and bills to pay. Meals with friends are sometimes followed by nights alone eating the same old thing in front of the TV. The Broncos lose. Marriages crumble. People get fired or laid off, or illness and infirmity rob us of our health. Happiness is contingent on circumstances. Happiness is also something we try to achieve, and our Constitution gives us the right to pursue it. But joy is different. It is not achieved. It abides deep within and is not contingent upon circumstances. It is a gift. It's an unbreakable Christmas gift. And so we turn to the familiar story that comes to us this time of year. And I turn back the pages to the beginning of the story before we reach the shepherds. And why? Because the coming of Christ sends the joy factor through the roof. It begins with the angel that appears to Zechariah announcing the birth of John the Baptist. The angel tells Zechariah the child, his son, will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Zechariah's wife Elizabeth conceives, and her neighbors and relatives share in her joy. Next, the pregnant Mary meets up with Elizabeth, and the unborn John the Baptist leaps for joy in his mother's womb. And Mary breaks out into song. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul rejoices in God my Savior. And later, when Jesus is 8 days old, he is presented in the temple, and two senior citizens, Simeon and Anna, see the child, and they break out into praise. Though joy is not mentioned, it's clearly the mood. And then there's the Magi, who upon departing Jerusalem see the star, the one that they had seen in the east, stop where the child was, and they were overjoyed. You see, with the coming of Christ, joy goes viral. In all this talk of joy, we cannot forget the shepherds. Bishop William Willimon noted that Christmas is a delightful disruption of the way things normally go. And talk about a delightful disruption. You know, one moment the shepherds are tending those sheep, and the next moment the glory of the Lord is shining around them, and an angel appears, and they are terrified out of their wits. Who wouldn't be? And then the angel speaks, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy." You know, that word great in the Greek is the word that we get mega from. So it is the angels declaring good news of mega joy, exceeding joy, ecstatic joy. For all people, it is a gift for the world. And then the angel continues, "For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." So not only is this child born to the world, but it is also born to you and to me. And then the angel continues saying that this child, this Savior, is Christ, the Lord. Now, have you noticed a theme yet for this year's series? Have you noticed what makes these Christmas gifts unbreakable? You know the answer. It's Jesus. Now, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but friends, there is no hope, no peace, no joy apart from him. We have hope in his name. We are told that if we call upon his name, we shall be saved, because his name means the Lord saves. We learned a few weeks ago that he saves us from our sin, our guilt, and our shame. He saves us for eternity, for that place that he has prepared for us. And we are saved for a purpose, to do the things that God prepared in advance for us to do. And last week we learned that we have peace, that once we were enemies of God through sin, but through the work of Christ on the cross, we are made right with God. We have peace. As Paul wrote to the Colossians, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, who is Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." And this peace we take inside because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, and so we have peace within. And we cultivate this peace by rejoicing, being joyful in the Lord, casting our anxieties at his feet, giving thanks and focusing on the things above where Christ is. And that peace with God and peace within gives us the grace to have peace with others. As we sang last week, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." And today we have joy, an everlasting joy, an inner conviction that no matter what is going on in our lives, Christ is there. And all is well with our soul. I heard someone once describe joy as the flag that flies over the castle of our hearts, announcing that the King is in residence today. I repeat that. The joy is the flag that flies over the castle of our hearts, announcing that the King is in residence today. You know, it echoes the song we sang just a moment ago. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. You see, when we invite Jesus to enter into our heart, joy takes residence there. And that flag, that joy inside, announces to everyone that the King is in residence. You know, in the Christmas classic that's not overtly about faith, it does capture it and captures that sense of joy. Dr. Seuss's The Grinch That Stole Christmas, which is sitting on my recorder, and I have not watched it yet, but I will. You know the story. On Christmas Eve, the Grinch enters Whoville and systematically steals every bauble, every gift, and every morsel of food. And he is quite pleased with himself. And on Christmas morning, as he is gloating and looking out over the valley, a song comes up to him, and he is puzzled. How could this be? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, is a whole lot more. Friends, there are no maybes or perhapses. Christmas is a whole lot more. Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph, Simeon, and Anna all experienced it. The good news of great joy. God had not forgotten them, but God came among them in the person of Jesus Christ. He would deliver them from sin, defeat death, and establish his kingdom on earth. That reading from Isaiah 61 is the very reading that Jesus quotes and says is fulfilled in his name, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, because it is Christ who brings good news to the poor, release to the captive, freedom to the prisoner. He brings the year of Jubilee, which is a reversal or a restoration. He brings a new order into our world. He brings hope and peace, joy and love. And of his kingdom, there is no end. Our shepherds would soon experience this too. Their terror turns to curiosity, and they abandon their flocks, and they hurry to see. And they find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Savior who is Christ our Lord. Now we are told from there they left and they spread word to everyone, and all were amazed. And then they returned to their flocks, but they're changed. For in the midst of this, they are glorifying and praising God. You see, the story of Christmas oozes joy. And it's joy that is made to be expressed in our worship and in our glorifying and praising God. And oftentimes in worship, we can look so serious and dour. But joy should radiate out of us, for Christ is in us. And that joy is also meant to be shared. James Moore, in his book, Christmas Gifts That Won't Break, tells the story of a little boy in the school Christmas play who's playing the angel that appears to the shepherds. He's quite excited, but he's having a very difficult time learning the line, "Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy." It seems that's not how the little one talks normally. But after some practice, he finally got it down pat, or so everyone thought. But on the night of the play, the boy got on stage, and he was frightened and forgot his line. And instead of saying, "Behold, I bring glad tidings of great joy," he suddenly just began running around the stage, flapping his angel wings and shouting over and over, "Boy, have I got good news for you." That's the message of Christmas. Glad tidings of great joy. For unto all of us a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this season of joy. But Lord, oftentimes it does become a spectacle, a parade of activity, and yes, joyful perhaps. But Lord, it's so much more than a parade. Lord, may we for a time, or maybe even more than a moment, remember what it is that brings us this joy and implants that joy in our hearts. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And Lord, may that joy ooze out of us in praise to you as we rejoice in your love for us. And also, Lord, as we share, Lord God, may we indeed be so joyful that people wonder the source of our joy. For indeed, we have good news. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you this day. In Christ we pray. Amen.